Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. So in previous lessons, we looked at parts of the .NET Framework class library to perform a number of different operations like file and directory access, string and date manipulation, working with collections, and a lot more. So years ago, in an attempt to make the Visual Basic programming experience even more accessible to absolute beginners, Microsoft decided to provide shortcuts, I guess you could say, to some of the very popular .NET Framework class libraries that were needed to do important stuff. So admittedly, the Framework class library is so huge that it can be difficult to find exactly what you're looking for without spending a lot of time just perusing through namespaces, just so you can get a little clue or a little hint as to which classes you're going to need in order to do something fairly basic, like look at information about the user's computer, or read and write from the file system, or just get a list of directories and things of that nature. So in order to unlock the most powerful functionality related to common tasks, like the ones that we just noted, files, directories, managing settings for a given application, getting information about the user's computer, and so on, the My namespace was born. Again, the My namespace is unique to Visual Basic. It provides a shortcut to commonly used classes in the .NET Framework class library. So in this lesson, I want to show how the My namespace makes it easier to find some common classes, things that you'll probably want to do inside your applications. And I'm only going to demonstrate how to use a few of the classes in the My namespace. As we type in the code, you're going to see IntelliSense pop up, and you're going to see the various classes and methods that are available that we don't demonstrate. Just take note of them, make mental note, and you can possibly utilize this whenever you go to build your own applications and you wonder, well, how can I get to working with the file system? How can I get to working with the user's computer? Think My namespace, start there, and then start navigating through IntelliSense to find what you're looking for. All right, so let's create a new project called, well, let's just call it My namespace. Let's come back to console application, call this My namespace, click OK. And so probably the quickest and easiest way to get started and explore what's possible is just type My and period, and then you can look at the various high-level classes. In fact, let's go ahead and use the all here so we can see everything. We can look at web services, which will allow us to exchange data over the network using an XML syntax. User, so we can look at things particular to the user of this program. Working with settings, which we'll do in just a little bit. Working with things about the application, I think we're going to use that one as well, the computer itself, and so on. All right. Well, first of all, notice that the My namespace came for free. All I had to do is just type My, and I'm ready to go. We don't have to include it at the top of our file using an import statement. We don't have to do anything special. It's just part of the project template whenever we create a new Visual Basic project. And secondly, as you can see that there are a lot of classes and other namespaces at this level. That's neat. So we're going to start with the computer class, and I'm going to attempt to access the name of the computer and its available memory. So we'll do something like this. So we'll get the name, for example, of the computer. So console.writeline, and we'll just pass in mycomputer.name and console.writeline, and we'll go my.computer. And here, look inside of the computer. We can get to the audio, the clipboard, the clock, the file system, info about the computer, the keyboard, the mouse. We've already looked at the name. We can get to the network, any ports, the registry, work with the screen, and so on. And so in this case, we want to go to info about the computer, and now we can get to available physical memory, available virtual memory, the name, the version of the OS, and so on. So let's go available physical memory, and then dot to string on that. Great. And then we'll do a console.readline like so. Get rid of that properties window, and then we'll hit start. And so here's the name of the computer, and as you can see, I didn't really take time to name this computer. It's one of the defaults that they generate for you. And then this are the number of bytes that are available on my computer right now. And so pretty interesting. And so the next thing I want to do is work with the file system. And in order to set up this project, I've created some example files that you should download from wherever you're currently streaming this video or wherever you originally downloaded it from. And I've unzipped that into my documents directory. You can see here, I've unzipped lesson 25 into my documents directory. And there's this little folder called test. I'm going to right click it and copy it and paste it to my C drive. So it'll be right in the root. And if you open up this test folder, there are three test files: test one, test two, test three.txt. And each of them have just a simple quote. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. It's better to be lucky than good. And then finally, best is the enemy of good, a quote from Voltaire. And so each of those have one thing in common. Did you catch it? Yeah, they each have the word good in them. So what we can do is, first of all, I'm going to write an application that allows us to look through a folder and find any matches for a specific string. In this case, I'm going to look up the word good and have it return back a list or a collection of all of the files that have that word good in them. All right, so I'm going to go dim files equals my.computer.filesystem. And now look at all the things that we can do in this file system class. We can copy files and directories. We can delete files and directories. We can determine if a given directory exists or drives. Look at all the drives on the system. We can determine if a file exists. We can find in files, which is what we're going to do here in just a moment. And if we just scroll down, I mean, there's so many different things we can do: renaming, opening, files, and reading their contents out, and so on. But we're going to focus on this find in files method. And there's two overloads. The first thing I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to give it a directory to look in. So in this case, I'm going to look in this directory, C colon slash test, test. I'm going to give it a string to look for, so good. We're going to look for the word good. Then the next thing we want to do is determine whether we should ignore the case or to actually honor the case of our search word good. I'm going to say true. I want to ignore the case, whether it's capitalized or all in lowercase. Either way, it works. And then we get this option to for a search option. Should we search in the top level directory only, or search in all subdirectories of C colon slash test? For this purpose, I know that we only have one folder and no subdirectories, so I'm just going to search the top level only. All right. And so now, to make this a little bit more readable, I'm going to separate these onto to new lines, but you can see through the indentation, it's all kind of related back to this one top line where I'm creating this collection of files. So now I'm going to go for each file in files, console.write line, and then just the file. All right. So this will return back to us a read-only collection of strings. So that's why we're able to just pass in this, because this should represent a string called the file name. So let's run this application, and you can see it brings back all three of the files. Let's use the word time instead. I think that should only appear in one. Yes, just the first file. Okay, pretty neat. Let's go ahead and comment all that out. And the next thing we want to do is use that same My Computer file system. And this time, what I want to do is copy all of the files from this test folder into a test two folder. So just copy or create a new folder and copy all the contents of this folder into a new folder. So let's do this. My.computer.filesystem.copy directory, and we'll give it the original directory, and then we'll give it the new directory we want to copy the contents into. And then the last option is whether we should allow it to overwrite existing files and directories, and I'll say go ahead and say true to that as well. So now when we run it, nothing will really happen on screen unless something is wrong. But now whenever we look back in our Windows Explorer, we can see that there is a new subfolder called test2 that has all three of the files in there. Awesome. All right, so this My computer file system, very powerful, lots of cool things we can do with that, but let's continue on. So the My Namespace makes many features of .NET applications readily available. For example, we can accept and work with command line arguments to our applications. So a command line argument is a comma separated list of values that are passed into the application. They're usually typed after the name of the application. So hello world.exe space my first argument, comma, my second argument, comma, my third argument, comma, and then we can use those that extra data that's passed into the application in our app. So we'll do the following. We're going to write this code to work with my application.commandLineArguments. Okay. So we're getting here a collection containing the command line arguments as strings for the current application. All right, great. Then we'll just for each through them, for each argument in arguments, console.write line argument. All right, so when this runs, let's see, okay. Nothing will happen this first time because we don't have any arguments that we passed into the application. And how can we pass in arguments to our application? I mean, we're not actually typing in on the console window my namespace.exe to execute the application, so we can't easily pass arguments in. However, fortunately in Visual Studio, they give you a way to test this functionality. And again, you'll go into the My Project icon, entry here in the Solution Explorer, which will open up the property pages. And if we go to the Debug tab, you can see there's this area to add command line arguments. And here I'm going to add Mo, Larry, Curly, and Shemp, comma separated list of arguments. And so what would you expect our application to do now? Whenever we run the application, it'll see that command line argument passed in. It'll get those arguments, turn them into an array of strings, and now we're looping through that array of strings or that collection of strings and printing them to screen like you see here. Great. Now let's take this a step further. I'm going to remove those and save everything and then rebuild the application. So now I'm going to go to search and I'm going to type in CMD to find the command prompt in Windows 8.1 and open that up. It looks like I'm already in the user folder, so I know that I can get into projects. So CD documents, CD Visual Studio 2013, CD projects, CD my namespace, right? So that's the solution folder. I should be able to go CD my namespace one more time to get into the project folder. I should be able to go CD bin to get in the bin folder. I should be able to go CD debug to get into the debug folder. And now I should be able to go my namespace and then type in the following arguments here. Maybe members of a band that I'm familiar with, like Pete, Patrick, Joe, and Andy. And now when I do that, notice that I was able to pass in the command line arguments to my application. It retrieved the command line arguments. It put them into an array of strings. We iterated through that collection or that array of strings and printed them back, echoed them back out to screen. And now we're out of the application, all right? And I can do a directory to see all the files inside of that directory and so on. And I'll just get out of that. Great. You learned two things there, not only how to work with command line arguments using the My Namespace, but then also how to work with these with the debug tab of the properties for our project. So in addition to working with command line arguments, we can also work with application settings. So in the application's property pages, since we're already here, we'll want to go down to the settings tab. And you see this little grid, and you can see from this text, application settings allow you to store and retrieve property settings and other information for your application dynamically. So for example, the application can save the user's color preferences, then retrieve them the next time it runs. And you can go beyond this and save any kind of data. So what I'm going to do is just for fun, I'm going to change, or I'm going to add two settings. So I'm going to call this the first value, and then I'm going to give it the value Lister, and then second value, and I'll give the name Rumor. All right, and I'll save these. And now I'm gonna go back to module one. Let's comment all this out. And I wanna retrieve those values and then even change them. So we'll do before and after. So console write line before, as we're retrieving these values, console.writeLine, and how do we retrieve them? We use the my namespace, my settings, dot. Now notice that we created the words first value and second value inside of the settings pane of the properties. And yet we're able to access them in a strongly typed way by just hitting the dot on the keyboard and then, you know, typing them out. So that's very, very neat, very convenient for working with settings. And I work with settings in just about every application to save connection strings to the database. I mean, you can use them for lots of purposes. Again, not your actual application data, but something that's generated or used by the application, but usually things that set up the environment. They give you control of, for example, like the colors that the user chose or their preferences, right? So second value, and then I'm going to actually, that we got those values, let's set them now by setting how we would set any property. So we'll set the first value to a Crichton and the second value equal to a Kochanski. And then I'm going to call my settings.save. And then I want to display a blank line. So let me just copy this, paste it a couple times here, and we'll call this the after. And here, I'll go my settings dot first value and my settings dot second value. All right, so now watch what happens when we run our application. We've retrieved those values, Lister and Rimmer, from the first value and second value that we preset in our property pages. And then I change them, save them, and retrieve them again for the after. Now the real test here is to run the application a second time. So the user closes down their application, they run it again. Will those settings that were changed persist? And they do. You can see now in the before, we have Crichton and Kochanski, the settings that were changed the very last time that we made those changes and saved them. So as I promised, this is just a small smattering, a small example of everything that's possible with the My namespace, as well as a couple of extra features of the properties pane that we've been looking at here throughout our entire series. Just shortcuts to get deep inside of the .NET Framework class library so that you don't have to memorize all the long namespaces and search around for those things about the computer, the network, the user, and so forth. They're just right there for you in the My namespace. So if you're just getting started and you need a quick way to get to the classes required in the .NET Framework class library to perform common tasks, then you can try to use the My namespace, see if it has what you need to get you pointed in the right direction very quickly. Okay, so we're done. Got a couple of closing comments in the next lesson, and then we're finished here. Thank you.